Tavkuf Nun Tes Sif Yud Noigim Shal Leishchot Shal Lohokin Tzach Yisuda Arach HaChatzis. So on Tisha B'Av, preparations for the night, we wait till after Chatzis. Tzach Yisuda, and also is relevant to be for Shechita. The Mishnah Berurah is going to discuss what's relevant Shechita. You don't eat meat, must be Tisha B'Av in general. Okay, so Beholchim al kvardus miyad shalchem yisak knesses. The minhag was to go to right after they leave the shul. After they leave the shul, they would go immediately to the basic kvardus, which Mishnah Berurah said before they would finish the kinnis shortly before chatzos. They go to the basic kvardus, and by the time they finish that, it would be after chatzos. So that was like the way to basically keep the day till chatzos. You were busy with the inyanim of avelus, etc. If they be kever a mace, so even though since it's considered a moed, and the moed, then we don't see tzidduk adin, so we don't see tzidduk adin tisha b'av also, even though tisha b'av has the elements of hesped in it, but the gabi tzidduk adin you don't say. That would be for those who do eat meat immediately must have tisha b'av, which Mishnah Berurah said before that the meat minhag is not so. Those who follow the minhag kosher, which he said before, the proper minhag not to eat on the night of the 10th, you can't shat on tisha b'av at all, because what's your rasa shat on tisha b'av? When you're not going to eat it that night anyway, wait till tomorrow to shecht. Rak lahok and sharsech yisudah mutar chachatzos, but other preparations for other foods would be permitted. Can't cause a taz. So the taz says, and the people who are not eating meat with a tisha b'av, they have no right to shecht on tisha b'av. We say for Eliyahu Rabbah, mekel b'zeh, welcome at chak yesh lahok. Eliyahu Rabbah says no, even though they're not eating meat till the following day. If they want to shecht today and start the process after chatzos, for the eating of the following day, that's also permitted. Obviously, in a case where there was a sudas mitzvah motzi tisha b'av, which we do eat meat, so that would be an example where this discussion would be relevant, like according to everybody. He says the minig is not to do this till after chatzos. That's the minig. Therefore, a person should not be makel on this minig. In a case where there's a concern there won't be enough time to prepare for the sudas mitzvah unless you shat before chatzos, that's permitted also. That's why he didn't explain the loch of shetting after chatzos for the sudas mitzvah, because that's much even before chatzos. Ala kavors, we go to the kavors, mem aleph. She yisoh, we go to Jewish kvorim. Today, shivakshu aleinu rachamim. So if it's a Jewish cemetery, part of our kavona is to go there. It's a time of great tragedy in Klal Yisrael, and where the schus of the people which are buried there should act as a source of nechama for Klal Yisrael, to bring the Yeshua. Remain Shal Yisrael. There's no basic kavar Shal Yisrael available. So how come afilo kivri akum? You go to even to a non-Jewish cemetery, which over there obviously the message is not going to be that they're going to mivakash l'rachamim, but loymer shanu chashuvim kemesim. We feel a kindred spirit with those people are buried here. We feel like we've lost the Beis HaMikdash, as if our life has been taken out of us. However, A Kabbalistic concept called klipus, which is discussed a lot. The idea that the makamis of tumah, the kaychas of tumah and the klipas, etc., are there, and they will connect to the person in the shama. So Tisha B'Av, because of the day of the Mazel Ra, the simon of the day of destruction that it is, there's a greater hisaris of those kaychas of tumah on that day. So you don't want to go too close to the quarter. You shouldn't go in a large group. Ends up becoming a pleasure trip. Each person should go by himself, or one other person. They'll remain focused on the avelus element. If the area of the basic course is so rocky and difficult, etc., that a person wouldn't be able to walk there barefoot, he would have to put on his shoes. Their choice is either barefoot or shoes. Supposedly, you know, we have these rubber shoes that we wear. So if that's going to be the result, so then he shouldn't go, and then be end up being makel on the din of nilas hasadol. We don't say tzidik adin anymore. Tzidik adin dikri moyed v'chanal b'reishas simon. So the same way we don't say the other elements of tachon and alam tzeich, we don't say tzidik adin either. This issue with the chitzonim, I'm sorry, get just too tired to get involved in the whole discussing the whole thing.
What would you translate as levels, like spiritual levels?
Chitzonim literally means the outside. It's the kachos. It means the forces of tumah. How you translate it? Simon Tov Kuf Samach Lasa Zecher L'Churban. Okay, so. We find there are certain things which we undertake, and not just during the 3 weeks, but the whole year, as a reminder of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. B'shachar Beis Hamikdash Tichach Chachamim Shohayu Bois Ador. From after the time the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the Chachamim of that door undertook a tikkana. Shein Bonin Lo'olam Binyan. We don't build something which is built Masuyod and Mukhir Bavinyan Kivinyan Hamalachim, that's totally painted and decorated the same way the fancy buildings are. El Toch Besa Betit, use rather tit, which is a more inferior type of painting. Besad Besid, and you put sid on it, which is a whitewash made out of limestone and lime. Mashar mokam amal amo kenegat a pesach below sid, and you leave one amo without any sid at all. However, v'lekeach chotzer mesiyeres and mechuyeres pirish mesiyeres, if you buy a property which already is been painted and decorated, we don't need to remove that which is there if you buy it already as such. Which even if you bought it from a Jew, which we would argue that he did it improperly, and you should need to correct it, we can assume that he got it properly, he bought it from a non-Jew before him, and that's in that state. If a person would be rebuilding it, renovating, he wouldn't be able to rely on that. You know, they'd be ripping out the walls and redoing the walls, whatever he was doing, so that he would have the sin of Amalama. Zecher l'Churban. Aleph. So the first Mishnah Berurah doesn't go in any specific place on the the sieve. But tiknuk shekoldah zecher lechurban abayis. Every element of something which would be cause rejoicing for a person, cause happiness for a person, we in some way diminish it. No matter whatever simcha I have, the zecher of the Churban Yerushalayim stands above that.
Of the simchas they celebrated in those days.
But
of the simchas they celebrated in those days. In those days they celebrated weddings, they celebrated a building of a house. Right. Bar mitzvahs weren't such a big thing then. Because I don't know if we do anything special for bar mitzvah.
No.
Because they didn't. Bar mitzvahs, they made a l'chaim and called it a day, and the kid put on tefillin. That was the end of it. It wasn't such a...
Right.
Wasn't such a big yontif.
I mean, nowadays, bar mitzvah would probably have the same limitation.
Yeah, if they had the minhag of today, where you have a big bar mitzvah, they probably would have had something, some kind of a ceremony for it.
Some people make the bar mitzvah of Chesed Rosh.
Well, that's the Davelis.
Mesuyah Nebuchadnezzar.
Depends who wrote the drasha.
Depends how long the drasha is.
Yeah, it's true, too.
Okay, hey, many seer, those are different types of decorations. Seer is pictures, drawing, or paintings. We can explain what's happening in the following way. That what they used to do was the following. They would first put on tit, which is the first layer, which was like a clay, mud clay type of a thing, which to hold everything together. And then afterwards they would put a layer of sid, which is a whitewash. It was made out of limestone. It was a whitewash on top of it. However, But the malachim would do the whole thing with sid. They wouldn't put the layer of tit beforehand. They would go straight to sid. So sid is more expensive and it's nicer, etc. They didn't put any tit there at all. So what we're saying is, we don't do that. According to this explanation, which is from the Morgan of Rome, or from the Kasa Mishnah, which the Morgan of Rome quotes, this is the Maz with the din of the source of this din, the first lashon over here, binyan mesuyah and mechuyah. You notice in the Berakah it says that's the lashon of the Rambam. So we're trying to explain what the Rambam meant. So this is how the Kasa Mishnah explains the Rambam. So sid levadoi, if all you're doing is sid, it means you're already acting, you're making a fancy type of a building. That itself is already a problem. So you must do tit as a lower layer. This won't help leaving over an amma. You cannot build a binyan in such a way. Okay. Then the Shulchan Aruch, who was the Kesef Mishnah, same person, after giving that explanation of the Rambam, he quoted the Rambam. Avodas Atur, the filo sudden besidim tzeranami mahani yishir amalama bechenamid. Even if you would do this process of sud besid, which means that all you're doing is with the fancier type of coatings and making the decorations, if you leave it on malam, it's permitted. That's the minhag. So the minhag is more lenient than what the Shulchan Aruch is allowed. So, Bishr Ashkenazim, that's the minhag.
Is Mechaber referring to the Bais Rishon or Bais Sheni?
Is the Mechaber referring to Bais Rishon or Bais Sheni? That's a good question.
Because in Israel, you see remnants of old shuls which have fancy tile on the floor, and it looks as though they did not avoid making the place decorated in a fancy, beautiful manner.
I'm not sure it applies to shuls. I think this is more an issue of a person's personal home, that the person's personal home shouldn't be so fancy.
Shul is a mitzvah, so you could say Zek Heli Van Bey, or you want to make it pretty because it's a shul. That doesn't mean there's no mitzvah in making your house fancy specifically.
Right. Take a look at the Bir Loch. The Bir Loch says the basic nasib is a medrash shor becholinyan. So there's no issue of making the shul or the basic medrash look decorative. Even besid the chul below shir amalama, there's no need to. But the problem is the personal home, that was improper. So what's the person do instead? Toch beso betit. He smears it off with tit. There's a lower layer he puts on is this clay type of a muddy clay type of a substance. Then you layer it on top with sid. Then you leave one amma, which is just tit, without any sid. So that's just has the lower layer, which was this mud, the clay type of a substance, as opposed to the whitewash that's right on top.
Where is that?
Beis. Let me show you the shear amal amal. When you mix in. The sid is mixed together with other things with sand, so you the first opinion is over here. You still need to leave an amalama. Some say no. Once you mix in the chol, that lowers down the sid to more like the tit type of the mixture. Mixing in the sand degrades the sid, and therefore you don't need to leave an amalama. That itself is mutter. The sirlo the hecha, the ear of chol, shub la mikri b'shem. Sid is not sid. V'hine, b'zmoneno lo logu l'shire, the minig has become, many people are not leaving over this amalama. V'afshir b'shem yesam chol yesh makilim. So maybe because they're relying on this opinion we just said, because it was much more common nowadays that the sid which we had has chol in it. But it is still strange to me. We don't have a layer of tit. We just have this layer of sid. That's all they do, without putting any chol in. And that I don't see any explanation for what that's about. Maybe he's trying to find an explanation of why people are making on this. Maybe you could say, we could suggest that dafka b'minei sid anikra jips shu lovin b'yoser osur. So if it's a very bright white type of limestone, gypsum, so that's awesome. Mashekim sid shalonu, the sid which they had over in the parts of the northern Poland, apparently wasn't so bright. Fine. Akolze doichik. All these different suggestions are really big doichik. V'tzarchi en oman nogu. No, you're going to have to. I don't really know. Explain why people are being lenient in this halacha. Okay. Vechav shutoch betit levad. Chliyama ain't sarach l'shar klal. If all you're going to put is just put the clay layer on, and that's all you're putting, you don't need to leave anything empty. So if you're putting a second layer on top of a sid, you have to leave one amma by an amma empty, not with the sid, and it should be connected to Pesach. Gimel.
Second layer on top of the tit.
Right. Second
layer on top of the sid.
If you put a second layer of sid on top. Connect a Pesach. Haino noichach a Pesach. Kesh yiro miyad kesh yikonos b'Pesach. So he's saying the Pesach doesn't mean above the doorway. It means opposite the doorway. So when you walk in, you'll notice it. V'yesh shemenichim poni.
Depends on the layout of your house.
Right. Okay. So, some people do the opposite. They leave the spot over the doorway empty, and the person who walks in doesn't see it. So what's shot in that? So if you picture a house where you walk into the main room. So the door opens in the main room. So the person sitting in the main room, he looks out towards the door and he sees this empty spot over the doorway. So he'll constantly see the empty spot. Mm-hmm. So that's where you gain with that. The situation nowadays where the main room that you see doesn't see the doorway, so then this explanation wouldn't apply. Okay. First in a sheer year below sid, that sheer, like you said, it should be with there's just the bottom layer, there's no sid on top. Some people came up with an idea. They're going to not leave it just tit, They put something on top. What they put on top was a black type of a dye. You know, they would dye their paint to make it a black color. You have a black spot there. So that's wrong. The zeh gam kentzira. That's a form of a picture. The deal was Chazal said leave it empty, not to paint it with something which you know looks black.
With something what?
What?
Something what?
I don't know.
Not to paint it with something.
Black.
Black.
Not paint it with anything. You can't make it green either. You can't make it green either. V'yesh mekar m'shoizin shocher v'kosin al zeh l'churban. Some people, they make it black, like you just said, and they write the word zeh l'churban on it. So the Shartzin and Ches says the Chayyim is machri gam b'zeh, but that wasn't the point. Wasn't the cut of Chazal. Chazal was to leave it ponri. Kamalkam near day limbris biyada makilim achrushal rabba hebi b'shem aguda samach lamakilim shayis and shachar b'makamahu. The Ma'aseh said there is some support for such an approach. So if that's what a person does, that would be there's something to rely on. People which hang tapestries on all of the walls, they should leave an amma by an amma, which is not covered with tapestries, and that'll be there. That's also part of this responsibility, leaving an amma by an amma.
Was the last thing you read before that the Ches and the Shar?
Yeah. So much so nowadays when a person's painting,
a
person's wallpapering, so you have the base, you have the bottom, whatever it is, that corresponds to the tit, you're putting a layer on top, you should leave an amma bein amma open. So let's say if you found it as such, you can leave it as is. The Talinan should not be at Akum. It was done by Goyal, Kochi Yisrael, Yemen, and Yisrael bought it from him. However, if Yimidua Shanasa Biyad Yisrael Beisrael, that's you ought to assume. But if you know if that wasn't true, that the Jew renovated and redid it and didn't leave the Amal the way he was supposed to, Chayiv Likloif Amal Amal, you have to remove that layer of the whitewash back to the bottom layer. Now, because of Keshukayim, even the story of the Cheskosa that you can rely on, it's only as long as the building still stands. When the building falls, I feel him yadua shabbat pamarishan hoya biyad akum kumakum kishachos ubernam achiyav l'shayir hashiur. That probably should be so. It's interesting writing. In the case where it fell and you purchased it from a goy, as such, you rebuild the Jews rebuilding it. So he's machuyav to leave over the amount that you have to leave over. So even though before by the goy, if it had been bought it and was still intact, he would not have needed to do so. But now that it fell, he's rebuilding it. He has to rebuild it, leaving over the amma by an amma.
What if your painter didn't leave the space for you? Like you told him to leave the space.
What if you told him to leave the space and he didn't leave the space?
You'd have to like do another painting or scrape it off.
Really, the problem was to scrape it off. You know, my shogar when they repaint, so after they finish, he takes out like a chisel and he chisels off a layer, he announces before he's doing it, the Zachar al Khurban, that's how he does it.
He does this?
My brother in law, when he does it. Now the question which comes up is this: Are you allowed to block it afterwards? In other words, it's the wall you come in. So there's a spot over there. So you end up putting a bookcase there. You end up putting shelves there. You know, can you block it? So you're not supposed to block it. He brings over here from the if to put up a picture on that wall, even if it blocks some of the amalama, as long as you can still see part of the amalama. So he brings from Chaim Kanevsky that's mutter. So you can tell that the Amu Amu was left, even though it's partially covered, now with something else, but you can tell that the Amu Amu was left. That is sufficient. Beis. So that's the first Takana. Second Takana, V'chein Eskinu. They also introduced Sha'arech Shulchan, the person who's setting his table, Lasa Suda La'archim. He has, he's hosting a party, he's hosting a suda, makasim menu ma'atz, he takes something away. U'meniach mokam poni, b'le ka'ora min ha'ka'ora sarius lose shom, that you would take away, in other words, if the normal way to make this meal would be with X amount of courses, or X amount of different dishes, so you would take away one type of an item. Another takana, because Isha Oisa Tachshite HaKetzavazov, a woman puts on her jewelry. Meshaira Min Mimini HaTachshit Shenehegas Behem. If a normally woman, if a woman would be fully bedecked in her jewelry, she would wear braces in both hands and a necklace and earrings and rings. She will leave off one bracelet. She'll leave off one item for what a person would normally wear. Today, Shaloi Yet HaTachshit Sholim. The bedecking of the jewelry would not be full. Next, Kasher Chasan Noisa Isha, at the moment of the Chasan, Lekech Efer Makli takes some ash, Noisa Barosha Mamokam Anocha Tfilin, he puts it on his head in the place of the Tfilin, where he would wear the Tfilin. Hago, Yesh Mekar Meshanogo, the Shabar Kois, Meshas Chupo, they break a glass at the time of the Chupo. I lost some map or shkara or shar. The reveal is Barosh HaChosin. Some will have a minute to put something like a dark black cloth on the Chosin's head, indicating a velus. Chalelo adwarman kaliz kores Yerushalayim shenemar im eshkachek Yerushalayim im lo alis es Yerushalayim arosh simchosi. So with that, we're going to take all these things as some type of reminder of the even in our greatest moment of simcha, we're still recognizing the fact that we're missing something very important. And obviously other types of things which are not sudas mitzvah, that a person should be leaving something out. However, we don't show the veilus on Shabbos. So if it's on Shabbos or Yom Tov, the person would put out whatever it's called, making a normal spread, and whatever the normal dishes are that you'd be putting out, you'd be doing that. He doesn't prepare all of the different types of dishes that a person would normally prepare for such a meal. He leaves something out. Kazaharsana was a type of a small fish that sometimes they would serve. So if that would be a common thing to serve that, and they would not serve that, that'd be sufficient. It's not a very chashuva thing, the Mor says. The Kasa the Harsha says, no, you're leaving out a chashuva. If they be accustomed that, you know, the first, they would have a course of sardines, you don't have sardines.
That's okay.
So, right, so you're going to sit with that also. Menich Mocham Poni. And then when you don't serve that dish, so you set the table in such a way, you could tell that there would have been space for a food which you didn't serve. And it's not so obvious to people that you left something out. You know, that took place in the kitchen. So the Mishnah Berurah says, excuse me, the Sharatzian says, it's all talking about something which like everybody... We don't have this in America so much because we have very, very, very varied menus.
Right.
You know, you go to a chas in Eretz Yisrael, it's the very, very fancy chas. It's the standard menu every single simcha. You know, they have the boreka, and they have the different things that they serve. All of a sudden, this chas, there's none of that. So you know it's missing. So every meal which is served,
but then if everybody's
in Eastern Poland,
they're all leaving out the same thing. So it's still the same.
Each person could leave something, one of the items out.
Oh, a different item.
Same as Sola, but if everybody expects that and it's not there, so if in all meals in Eastern Poland, they always serve a potato kugel, so even though he didn't leave a space for the potato kugel dish, but there's no potato kugel, he says, where's the potato kugel? Ah, Zekhar L'Churban, right? So that would be what you wouldn't need. The Shartzian points out it's something which is everybody would always serve. You wouldn't need to leave that spot of that dish empty because it would be indicative to the people just for the fact that that food is missing. The Bush does not quote this extra step that you have to leave out a empty spot on the table. After the sirle, the mechaser mahat levadosag. Just the fact that you're not giving that portion, that type of food, is sufficient, even without leaving the empty spot. A woman would leave out one of her items of jewelry, shenegas, what a woman would normally wear. Kainu imeishla harbat mini tachshitin. Otosim kulam aleh bevasachas. She doesn't wear all of her different types of jewelry at the same time. Every scenario, she would leave one out. There can be different things each time. Furthermore, the Shabur uses an opportunity to say some Musar. Women who dress with all of their jewelry, garman levadze rois rabus miumus arlam miskanim behem. So you don't want to gouge out the eyes of the goyim. You know, so the goyim are living. You know, Eastern Europe, the peasants lived impoverished, and here's this Jewish woman walking around with, you know, with the fancy jewelry. You're talking about in general that's a dangerous type of a move. So he didn't suggest, you know, he suggests we shouldn't be doing that anyway. Shabbat Kais B'Shas Chupa. V'zoi Gam Ken Tam Shal Shiras Kli B'Shas Ksivas Tanoim. That's the same idea, what they break a kli, not a glass. When they break a plate, when they write the tanoim. Okay, b'yir lishbur tachas chuppa kosholim. You don't take a broken glass to start with, and break that under the chuppa. You start with a kli, which is a sholim. You break that. Vein boi mishum bal tashkis kimish oizakein l'rameis musar l'man yitnu lehim. We're doing this as a lesson. So that's not considered bal tashkis. It's also a valid use for the kli is to teach that message. The poskim suggests that, you know, but it should be something which a person, you know, you go out and you go to the store, you know, you find this flawed glass which costs 3 cents and you break it. That's not the point. The point is, you know, it was something which a person would say, oi, I lost. You want the person to say, oi, I lost the kli. It should be valuable. You know, some level of value. It shouldn't be stum. I was once by a chasna that the caterer had a great idea. He's going to put a light bulb. It's much easier to break than a glass. And, you know, light bulbs, you know, incandescent light bulbs, you get it for 60 cents, you know. So the Masada Kedushin found out about it, and he said, no, get that out of here. Put a real cup there, you know. Yeah, that was the point. Wasn't to put a light bulb.
Because it's not a
candy. It's not lost for the mishpacha that's having the
simcha. Yeah, the idea, but really, it should be. I mean, the idea of the Gemara was the Gemara. It's this is taken from the Gemara. The Gemara says they were by Chasim once, and they saw that they were celebrating too much, and he broke a kli. It was a very expensive kli. So he said, "What in the world are you doing?" He says, "You know, pull back on your simcha a little bit." Nowadays, the whole thing is a difficult. You know, I mean, breaking of the glass is the sign to start dancing. You know.
So is it to pull back on the simcha, or is it for the korban?
Well, that's the point. You don't celebrate totally because you're there's an element of sadness involved in everything.
My family in Eretz Yisrael just did a Tamani, but I don't know if it's generally true for Eidos and Mizrach, but they did the breaking of the glass before the they do it before Sheva Brachos. So then
all Israelis do it before Sheva Brachos.
Really?
It's a standard Ashkenazi minhag also.
Okay,
they break the glass after the Eris and before the Nisuan.
Okay. So then it's not, doesn't have the...
Right, doesn't have the same... Sorry.
Yeah.
Same what?
The same result of everybody start dancing after you saying you break the glass. Rosh Simcha, see, Arina B'Shabbos Daf Samu Beis, the Tanuk the Is Bei Simcha Oser, the Les Bei Simcha Shori. So we're saying in general, we're saying we're supposed to limit everything that we're doing. So when we say that what is this everything we're referring to? If it's tainu with simcha, that's exactly what they, you know, in general, being misanah, the person, you know, if it's a tainu which generates simcha also, that's what all that goes into this issue. It's, if the time of your simcha, you're doing that, so the time of non-simcha, you should also, you know, it's like, okay, great. Time of chasna, I have a little bit of sadness. You know, but my vacation, Pashat, I'm going to indulge all the way. You know, let's you know, go to the 17-star hotel. You know, like, you know, that's also not the point, you know. That you can't feel that you're in a state of pleasure to that extent. This issue with the breaking of the glass, it's not a new problem. You know, it's mentioned like back over a few hundred years ago that they had this problem. They would say Mazel Tov when they broke the, they would start scream Mazel Tov when they broke the glass. You know. It's one of the areas, interesting, which, you know, by the more yeshivish are them, they know they break the glass, and that's it. By the more modern, they sing Meshuchech now. It's become, like, very common. I think it's a good idea, you know, at least it puts some tenor of what you're doing. Some Meshuchech are too fancy either, but, you know, it's like...
It's still Meshuchech.
But it's some, it's still, you know, the person, you know, would stop and be misbarred, and that's a good idea.
I went to a wedding not from the Tendler side, but there was a Tendler on one of the sides. And, he made an announcement before the chuppah began that it's the minig in our family not to say Mazel Tov right away. You wait 15 seconds, and then you'll say Mazel Tov after they break the glass, because otherwise it sounds like what you're saying, that it sounds like you're saying Mazel Tov on the Chorban. And people listened. I mean, they waited.
Okay, so Gimel really deserves its own conversation. I don't want to rush through Gimel, so we'll leave that for next week.